Welcome to Interviews. I am Kimmy Rose, and you are listening to BBSRadio.com. I just want to welcome everyone to the show, and it's a great week. We're in the fall. I can say I'm so blessed to be able to be in so many places at once. So whether you're out west, you're in England, France, Tennessee, Michigan, we're all here as one. We are all connected at a very collective level. And tonight I'm really, really excited to bring to you a very special guest, Brent Rains. He's been one of ufology's longest running researchers. He also is an editor of the magazine Alternate Perceptions. And he is going to be part of a conference this coming weekend. It's the Association for Research and Enlightenment. It is a conference, and I've got to bring this up because people have been sending me emails. They're going to be talking about UFOs, crop circles, orbs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And what I sense is even something so much more, just something very deep that has to do with science, spirit, and a part of how we're all connected. And EdgarCasey.org, that is the website to go to if you want to get tickets. I want to bring on the show, without further ado, Brent Rains. Hi, Brent. How are you?
I'm just fine, Kimmy. How are you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Brent, I want to start just by saying that I have read your articles, and you wrote an article, I believe. I'm trying to remember the. It was about different an experience you had as a child. I believe it was back in the '60s, the late '60s, and as I was reading your article. You wrote it in the ARE, right? If you go to, if everybody wants to go over to EdgarCasey.com, and it's Venture Inward. Venture Inward magazine is a wonderful magazine. You can also see the articles online. But you're writing about UFOs and extraterrestrial, and you do investigative work. And what I was picking up, and I'm just going to start with this question right off the bat, because this is what I'm guided to ask, is about energy and consciousness. And so you study, you've been studying, you've been doing research on UFOs and doing studies on different realms of consciousness. And I want to ask you, how, like, if you believe that there are aliens on this earth, could we be aliens, or do they appear differently?
They, of course, there could be a wide combination of what an alien, I guess, could look like. I mean, it's right on our own planet. Look at all the many kind of adaptations that life forms have taken. And, you know, like Carl Sagan, when I look at the stars at night and think about all of the heavenly bodies that are out there, and you've got all the same basic elements that can create life out there as it is here, I mean, I don't have any doubt that, you know, that the universe is just filled with all sorts of different life forms. And you know, I like to think that, I guess just because I'm in this human form, that there are others that share a similar complementary type form out there that I could identify with, as opposed to, say, meeting a one-eyed amoeba-type being, you know. either way, I think that it's mind-boggling to think of all of this, and really we talk about extraterrestrial, but I have a feeling, you know, too, that that there's so much activity that's going on here. We're learning so much about quantum physics and such. I mean, we're still at the infant level, but the idea of, you know, dark matter, dark energy, black holes, you know, parallel worlds, all these possibilities that are looming before us that used to be considered science fiction, and now many major scientists are pondering these things and saying, hey, you know, this could be, and you know, they're working out their equations and their theories, and I don't see why, you know, any of this is being really such a stretch anymore. And the idea of, you know, having to go a great distance, you know, so many light years, if there are wormholes or if there are other dimensions that coexist with us in this immediate realm, there, in fact, it seems like there are many, many people who are having visitor experiences, and a lot of it is recurring for certain people who seem to have psychic sensitivity and awareness, and I think this is part of something that we're slowly realizing more and more, that there are certain people, certain individuals, some way in their makeup, that they are more prone and susceptible to these encounters, and that's going to be part of what, you know, I'm going to be pursuing in my presentation.
And that's what I love. I was really, you know, the fact that they're, you know, that you're presenting, and you present, I mean, you're also a researcher, and your magazine, Alternate Perceptions, is just has so many things that really, really make it, they make you really get down into the energy and understanding. And what I'm just like, the reason I'm asking is because, you know, I think that I often will see people or I feel things and I'm going, it just makes you wonder, does it really matter? It doesn't really matter if somebody is from another planet. It's, maybe there's like some collective energy that we're all here to experience. Well, and I was just wondering, you know, taking you back to the age you were a teenager and you were really asking questions, how might people better understand this?
I had an experience. I don't know that it was in the Venture Inward article, though. But there was a time when I was in I was struggling, looking for answers early on and looking for, you know, religious to connect everything together to where I, you know, sometimes, you know, I'd heard people say that from the Christian viewpoint, that it was evil, demonic, and so on, and I wanted to find out, and I had met a lot of people, and I thought, these are really nice people, I can't see them going to hell because they believe that, you know, and they had experience with some sort of entity that they felt was giving them some sort of guidance and insights, and that this is an evil thing, and yet I had family and friends who were of the opposing point of view, and I tried to weigh it all out, and finally, this was back in 1975, and I was about 23 at the time, and I was living in Maine, and I had traveled across the country interviewing a lot of people, spent the summer of 75 in a lot of different places, Tennessee and Florida and Ohio, and anyway, I came back to Maine where I was, you know, grew up and living at the time, and I was thinking, well, I'm just going to put it in Creator's hands. This, you know, show me what I need to see. Show me something that'll help me understand it better, but I don't want to be scared to death. You know, no one-eyed amoebas. and so, about the second night, you know, the furthest thing from my mind, and I just had one of those experiences unexpectedly. I wasn't expecting anything to happen, and I don't know if I was in my body or out of my body or just what, but it was strange. I suddenly found myself in the middle of the floor. I had just crawled into bed. I was tired. It was about 11 o'clock at night, and everything seemed normal, natural, nothing, you know, bizarre going on, no Twilight Zone type music in the background. I was just ready for some sleep. And it seemed like I just got into bed, and the next thing I know, I'm on my feet going toward, although as I thought about it, I didn't remember actually the sensation of my feet touching the floor, but I thought they were. And I was in the middle of my bedroom, which the lights were out, but the hall light was on. And I had the sense that someone was with me, behind me, but I was supposed to stand there. Not a fear. I remember there wasn't a fear at all. And all of a sudden, looked like hundreds of these small marble-sized orbs or translucent clear, crystal clear, white, pulsating balls of light began swarming around. And they seemed to take a form of a small four-legged animal near the floor, and then, bam, I was back in bed. And that was sort of really, I think, a point where I started integrating more of an understanding of spiritual things, paranormal, at a deeper level, and kind of got away from the fear and such. And I think a lot of this is kind of an evolutionary paranormal spiritual thing for a lot of the experiences too. And anyway, before you have me committed, I just want
to... No, I'm Brent, I am 100% with you, because when I was I still have this, and little girl, three beings have visited me in white robes, and one would talk to me, and I would see the spinning. It was like a pie, and I would go to my mom's bedroom, and I'd go, my mom and dad would be sleeping, and I'd think that I was going to die. I was really fearful, and I got a message, and this was just a few years ago, that the crop circles that are created through our consciousness, like through consciousness of people, like a telepathic energetic link. And I had a message that you are very familiar with this. And this is a lot of times when I do an interview, it's based on my intuition and a connection.
Well, I did have a hand inviting one of the speakers, two of them actually, but one of them is a Nancy Talbot who will be speaking. And actually, her presentation is on the crop circles and with a particular focus and emphasis. And I've talked with her on the phone about this, and we've corresponded, and I interviewed her for my magazine, but about an experiencer over in Holland that she's been going back and forth for years investigating, who seems to have a lot of mediumistic ability, and one of the unique people, very rare person, who actually knows when a crop circle is going to appear. He'll have, your message was right on. He'll have dreams, or he'll just have a sense, and he'll even tell people where it is, and they'll go out and there it is. And he's also had a lot of encounters with, UFOs and beings. And a lot of people seek him out over there in Holland because of his psychic ability, that he's able to give them some comfort, because he'll take a picture, and even though he doesn't know anything about them, a picture of their relative will appear in the photograph that he takes.
Wow.
And
So he takes a picture, and is it somebody that's passed away?
Right, it's someone who's passed on that they know, that there was, a brother or a sister, someone in their family. And Nancy had sent me a picture, which she says is her, a picture of her brother. Took several pictures and gave them, when she was over there in Holland. And she said that he really had never met her brother, didn't know how such an image would ever gotten on the film, but her brother had passed away. And then there was these pictures that he took while she was over there.
Wow.
And so hopefully she'll present that too, I hope, during her presentation. It would,
That's, and if anybody's just tuning in, you're listening to interviews, and we are talking to Brent Rains. Brent, there's so much that you do, and really holding the space that people can actually not feel committed. I love your magazine. Your magazine, Alternate Perceptions. That's what it's about. It's that holding that space for greater understanding.
We originally called it UFO Perceptions, and then myself and Dr. Greg Little, my co-editor, decided we were going to call it Alternate Perceptions, because we didn't want to just focus just on something that's as enormous as this. on just the UFO element alone. There's a lot more than just the nuts and bolts, you know, visitation element to it.
And I think that that's so, it's so easy to get into that thought process of, okay, well, things are black and white. This is the way it is. I remember talking to Andrew Collins. He is amazing. We had such a great connection that we kept talking. We even talked before and after, we were talking after the show. And I love that the idea that you talk about the alien energy, or, you know, like who is the alien, or, you know, like what really are we, the veil. He's talked about 2012. I loved his book, and he's talking about this energy, this energetic connection that we have. And Carl Jung said it. He talks about the collective unconscious, and Edgar Cayce talks super conscious, that, you know, universal consciousness, and
right,
you're sharing
that,
with me that, how are we, is this something, you said certain people can connect with that. When you were talking about this woman who's going to talk about, you know, this person who's taking pictures of, you know, and all of a sudden someone who's passed on, like a family member, appears, is it possible that that person can manifest, is maybe manifesting something energetically that really is there and able to do that, to open the other person's mind, like, you know what I mean, to open the universal consciousness of someone else? I hope that question makes sense.
I'm in a situation right now where I'm evaluating just who's doing what, or what's causing within our group, you know, there's a lot of sense, speculation over the years in parapsychology that usually there's one particular person, or, you know, persons who are really the live wire in a situation, who the energy is channeling through primarily. Someone is the conduit, you know.
Yes.
Usually it's one particular person. And well, make a long story short, since March, I've been working, started out as ghost investigations here in Tennessee with a group of people, two of whom were, are actually abductees also, and alien abductees. And so they've had these experiences that they, you know, have memories of being aboard craft and examinations, the whole nine yards, and meeting aliens, but they also have this tremendous amount of psychic ability. And I went with them. In fact, I had lined up an investigation, and they came. And I had read and tried EVPs, you know, electronic voice phenomena, years ago, and had a little success, I think, but most of what I found I could explain. And in this instance, we have what's called a ghost box, spirit box, Frank's box, or whatever, which scans continuously through the radio frequencies. And we have communicated over and over with these messages from some sort of interactive intelligence. I'm sure that, I can't explain it. And I've been with them now and doing a lot of sessions. I think we've got hundreds of these things, audio files on different little clips. And they may be spirits of deceased. Some claim to be alien, although some of that I kind of wonder about. But and then some of them, I was telling a friend of mine recently that we could put some of these together and create a audio CD or something called Humor from the Afterlife, because they cut up. I mean, what we did was we take, and I had the idea, I wanted to prove something was going on, so I started putting on index cards or write out on a paper something that we'd hold up, and they would ask the spirits to say it and then have that come over the radio. And, of course, you realize we're not transmitting, we're just in this room, but somehow they communicate with us through the radio, although sometimes we've got regular EVPs, too, before and after these sessions. And we would actually get the message of what's on the paper. And recently, I think it was October 23rd, we did a session, and we had black dog written, and the voice quickly, within seconds, said black dog. And we were saying, oh, you can hear us on the audio saying, oh, that they said it, black dog. And then over the audio, you hear bark, bark.
Oh, wow.
And,
wow.
And we had another instance where been talking with a friend of mine who was really into the UFO psychic connection. He was a psychiatrist who passed away back in September, Dr. Berthold Schwartz. And I got to seeing if, you know, he was there. We'd heard his name during the early part of the session. And so I asked for him, and to me it sounded just like him. He said, yes, Brent. And then it got a little, you know, wasn't as clear some of it, but that part was clear to me. And I was trying to get him to name a book that I'd had a chapter in his book. And you hear him say, you hear someone talking to him saying, book. And he says, ah, chapter. And then it sounds like he said the name of the book, but it's kind of garbled. But it has that flow to it, you know, but I can't do anything about that right now. But at one point in the week following, we were doing another session, and I seemed to have a little interaction there. We asked if they could locate him. And he said, we can't find him. And I asked, I'm talking about Dr. Berthold Eric Schwartz. And the voice says, Schwartz, no. And but at one point, one friend, Brett, he was asking a serious question about the stories about angels in the Bible, the book of Genesis, that got with the daughters of men, right?
Yes.
Who were those angels? And this voice, real loud and clear, says, Schwartz. And, you know, we just laughed, you know, but I mean, it's definitely interactive, and we don't, you know.
That is, and you're talking about the, you know, the EVP or, you know, the, you know, I know that, and I'm just, you know, I've got a list of questions. I could talk to you for 2 hours because this is something that, like for me, I hear, and then the people that have passed away, and I know they're here still. I've had 2 near-death experience also, so I know that when we leave, our energy is still here. I mean, but there's a, they're not, it's usually the people's consciousness that's wanting whoever's alive to clear things, and so, you know, those who have passed on, there's a oneness that exists. And when you're talking about the EVPs, it also makes me curious with some of the answers that are coming through. If not, there's not a connection with that person, the person that's asking, and the person that's passing away, with a conversation that's already taken place, or a we talk about alternate realities that timing is, there's a timing that's connecting and creating the future and the moment with these. So whatever was in the past, like you, that you were reading about and, you know, that you read about in the Bible, or maybe there was a part of your consciousness that also knew this answer, and it was adding to the energetic answers. Does that make sense?
I would add here, well, first of all, let me say that my very first session with the so-called, you know, the spirit box was back in March, and we were in the basement of an old 100-year-old church that was alleged to be haunted. Some people had heard footsteps and felt presences and things there. And so we were doing a session there, and it was real staticky, and the people that owned the box, Brett and Gina, they had old him from Lebanon. They, you know, they've experienced this, I guess, a pretty good number of times at this point. And they said, you know, they felt like it wasn't really one of the best sessions. There was a lot of voices coming in and out, and it was pretty staticky. And my ear, this is the first time I tried to listen to these radio signals, and my ear just wasn't really trained yet to listen well. You know, you do have to kind of get used to it. But one day, a few months later, Now, by this time, I had heard this spirit that, or a presence, a voice that repeatedly claimed it was John Keel. We had quite a session on July 3rd, which was exactly a year from his death, when, you know, we had already heard him during another investigation in May. Of course, John Keel is the one who was a UFO investigator years ago. He passed away exactly a year ago from this past July 3rd. We thought, you know, well, we had a session coming up July 3rd. Let's try to talk to him. And we had quite a session. We had a lot of interaction with a voice that claimed to be John Keel. But what I didn't realize was that back in March, when I sat in that basement, I was thinking, boy, you know, it'd be nice to, you know, because I long admired him. He looked at the psychic, you know, elements of all this. He was a real pioneer and looked at the idea of UFOs and other dimensions. And, but, you know, I didn't think anything happened. I thought maybe one time I might have heard Keel, but I was kind of disappointed at that point and thought, ah, heck with this. Well, months later, after I've heard Keel quite a number of times now, and I'm a believer now, I had a stack of audio files on my desk. One of them wasn't labeled, and I thought, okay, this might be something I need to check out. So I stick it into my tape recorder, and it's a spirit box session. I'm thinking, which one's this? And lo and behold, it's the one back in March. And Brett is asking, you know, because my wife had gone to a session before this and heard her brother's name and seemed to interact with her late brother, asked for him to speak. And so he's right where he says, Jesse, say your name here. We get Keel. And I just about fell out of the chair. And but that wasn't all. Then you hear the F word, F Keel, and then a voice says, try that again. And then a voice saying, F you. I'm not going to say the whole thing, but everyone. And that sounded, and Joan agrees, it sounded just like her brother, although he didn't normally use that kind of language. But we said, well, it sounds like Keel jumped in where your brother was supposed to speak. And in addition to that, you could hear talk with Brent, and even then, and another time, heard John Keel, the whole name. So he was definitely, and then recently I asked him, because I've been writing about the similarity between EVPs and what he wrote years ago about going into UFO flap areas and people, CB radios and walkie-talkies and ham radio operators, were claiming that UFO beings were talking to them, sometimes materializing inside the radio shacks with them, and they sounded like a speeded-up phonograph record, voice at high speed. And I was I had noted in an article before this the similarity, you know, that they often talk twice as fast as normal voice or like a speed-up phonograph record. Is that the same thing as an EVP? And before I could even get the words out, a voice sounding like a speeded-up phonograph record said, EVP. And then it said another loud EVP,
you know. And that's amazing, though, that, okay, and this is a box. Is this a, like, does it have white noise? Is it a radio, like a little?
It's a regular, you can get them at Radio Shack, a little digital radio, and yep. It's the scanner mechanism has been disabled so that it's continuously scanning through the frequencies. And, you know, you do have a lot of little stations going in and out real quickly as it's passing through. But it's these voices that just absolutely don't belong there that are absolutely saying names of people you're talking about. Plus, they have a spirit guide. They call him a technician who comes through. His name is Bishop. You hear him throughout the session. And then at the end of it, he'll say, okay, let us know when it's time to close, Bishop, because he wants to make sure that all the spirits are on their side, you know, away, you know, that nobody's over on this side, and because they've had the experience of afterwards of spirits still being around after they were finished with the session, so they want to be over on their side before they shut the turn the radio off, and so they'll ask him to say close, And within a short time, you'll hear close. And the last time, he said something like, tell me when it's clear to close. And this female voice said, clear to close, exactly what he had said, repeated back. And
wow.
we've heard that so many times now that, you know, it's like, wow, and I put a few audios of that together so that people can hear that. But, of course, it's not the same thing as being right there yourself.
Oh, no, it's not. I can tell you that, like, I actually went and made one of those little, you know, I went to Radio Shack because I went online. You can go online and you can actually make one. And what I found was because I just will hear. I can hear them speaking, giving messages. And we brought the box in, and a friend of mine who is he's a scientist, and he has all these devices, and we work with the TV station, and we'll go in. We went into this radio station, and this man was saying, talking about his wife and how he shot himself, and then he said, and I need to go have a cigarette. He's telling me this stuff here on this box, on, you know, this little box that we had made. We heard the voices of the man saying that too. It was
right.
So cool. It's really neat to do, and I think that's really neat that you're actually, you know, you're doing this. You're doing this work, and you're sharing it with people. And your magazine, Alternate Perceptions magazine. I want to give everyone the website. It's mysterious/america.net, and there are so many neat articles on there that really cover such a wide spectrum of questions that so many people might have. You know, you talk about Atlantis, you know, there's a science and spirituality mix here, and it
right.
really
we try to put at least one interview in each issue, and we have book reviews and other different, you know, articles, features, like I've interviewed even two American astronauts. One of them was Dr. Edgar Mitchell, who was the sixth man to walk on the astronaut to walk on the surface of the moon, and who, after, you know, his own 1971 flight, had kind of like a cosmic consciousness experience, like he was one with the universe, and came back and created the Noetic Institute, got very involved with parapsychology, met many different psychics, helped, you know, Stanford Research Institute, and met Uri Geller and different people, and even experimented with a lot of the children that had these psychokinetic abilities. He would go to homes with spoons and forks and such, and these kids would bend them with their minds. And, you know, he was saying things, and I got off the phone with him, and I told my wife, I said, you know, here's a guy who's a famous American hero and astronaut saying the things that people have told me I was crazy for saying, and this guy's is very educated and has a, you know, he's an American hero, and everybody looks up to him and respects him, and he's talking about Roswell and, you know, alien bodies and extraterrestrial life and the paranormal and all these things that a lot of the rest of us get ridiculed, you know, because saying we're uneducated or something, you know.
Speaking the truth.
Yeah, and he's just, you know, and there was another one who was being groomed for by NASA for a trip to Mars, and that didn't pan out, but he still has all the knowledge and the science and everything, and he's been very deep into the paranormal and everything as well, and I interviewed him, and you know, experiencers and scientists, all of them, and researchers with you know, years experience studying things, and it's just fascinating just to bring all of this out and to have people bring their different perspectives forward and to share all this information and discuss it, you know, like we're doing.
And I love this. I mean, because it's about really that. I really believe there's a veil that has really truly, like, this, whatever veil it is that has been in front of us, is the more we talk about it, the more that people come out and share in this collective energy. And I actually saw his actually video and the air he put it out. I can't think of Mitchell. I'm trying to think of the video. He actually has a video that you can get it, the ARE, and you can actually order it online. But I have such an interest because, like you, I am very, I guess, attuned to the point where keeping my feet on the ground is difficult. I do kind of the opposite, you know, like the voice box. That to me is like keeping my feet on the ground because it's like, okay, I'm going to actually, you know, that you can actually hear it because I'm hearing things energetically. And so you actually help me with how you just give such a wonderful perspective to understanding for people that have never encountered alternate realities, UFOs, and people that seem to be in touch with this all the time. And I noticed that you have you've got some really neat, I mean, some really awesome speakers that are going to be at this UFO conference. It's hard for me to call it a UFO conference because I know that it's just so, like, there's so much more. Freddie Silva, I was actually able to interview him. I asked him a question about the crop circles, and he goes, you might not want to talk about that on camera because things happen when you start talking. And I was talking about, he goes, where are you getting that from? It's so amazing, the energy, and people don't realize what you share, what you're here to share with people is an understanding. And to say, you said it in the very beginning of our interview, fear. It's like not being fearful. That's so important. So important not to be fearful of this. And we've got to go to a break. I want to just let everybody know about this conference. Go over to edgarcasey.org. This is a UFO conference, but it's a conference that really will help you understand what is going on collectively, crop circles, extraterrestrial encounters, our own encounters. And we have Brent Rains on with us. And please also at the break, go to mysterious.america.net and check out Alternate Perceptions magazine. And you know what? Plan on having lots of time because anything you want to know and any questions, they're right there. I mean, just some amazing interviews that are part of this magazine. And we're going to just go to a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more with Brent Rains. Hi, this is Kimberly Rose. Listen weekly to my show, Interviews. We're now syndicated, so you can hear us all over the world on different stations. Go to KimmyRose.com to find out more information and how to tune in weekly. Also, if you're wanting to connect, you want to get advice, whether it be from a life coach or an intuitive, we have the best people. They are handpicked from all over the world. Go to KimmyRose.com and click on Kimmy and Friends. Right there, you'll be able to get a free reading and connect with some of the greatest readers around the world. You can also call 734-854-1514 to connect with these amazing people. You can also connect with me by calling that number. Again, that's KimmyRose.com. Take time to manifest change in your life. Remember, it's all about what's within you. Do you want to lose weight, stop smoking, connect with your higher self? Are you trying to get pregnant? If you're interested in any of these things, go to KimmyRose.com and check out our wide variety of hypnosis CDs. We've got testimonials on the website. Change your life, change your mind with our hypnosis CDs. That's at KimmyRose.com. Hi, I'm Kimberly Rose with Interviews. If you'd like to get a hold of me for a reading or check out my online classes, go to my website at KimmyRose.com. You can also call me at my store at 734-854-1514. While you're at the website, check out some of the great things that we have for sale. That's KimmyRose.com. I'm Kimberly Rose with Interviews. Join me on Saturday, April 10th and Sunday, April 11th of 2010 for the Toledo Body, Mind, and Spirit Festival. There'll be free admission, free parking, lectures, and classes both days. We'll have exhibitors from all over the United States. You can go to ToledoBodyMindSpiritFestival.com for more information. If you want to be an exhibitor, a speaker, fill out the application there. That's the Toledo Body, Mind, and Spirit Festival on April 10th. Welcome back to Interviews. I am Kimmy Rose, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com. Just want to invite you over to my website, KimmyRose.com. Yeah, there's a lot of really neat things going on over the next 6 months. I'm going to be teaching a class in December that allows you to connect with your infinite wisdom, and it's something that's taken me 3 years to really bring into a way of teaching it in a way. There's a protocol, a model, a way of connecting with intuition, and if you want to understand the Akasha, the energetic wisdom within us, the true Holy Grail, this is a class you won't want to miss. Right now, we have on with us Brent Rains, and he's going to be in Virginia Beach, and that is this coming weekend, doing a conference. It's a conference that is all about connecting with UFOs, crop circles, and extraterrestrial encounters. It's really about energy. And Brent, you have a book, Visitors from Hidden Realms, and it's all about out-of-body experiences and lucid dreams, and you talk about how they share certain characteristics.
Of course, what was really phenomenal too, great honor here, was that the conference is entitled Visitors from Hidden Realms, also the title of my book. And what I try to do in this book is I try to take a really comprehensive global and historical perspective on UFO phenomena, and take it way back into history, and you can certainly do that. And there was a Paul Devereaux who studied the paranormal, a lot of ancient sites primarily over in England and such, and a lot of the experiences people have at the ancient sites. He helped to found a group called Project Dragon back in the 70s, and they would try to measure energies and things at these sites. And he said that he had looked at the literature and came across the study where there were on every continent in the world, 67 indigenous tribes had reported that they'd had out-of-the-body experiences. There was a significant part of their experiences and ceremonies and traditions, and what we call out-of-body travel, out-of-body experience. And he said that really a lot of people don't realize it, but in our society today, besides near-death experiences and people who suddenly find themselves in out-of-body state while they're in a dream, which a lot of people have been calling lucid dreams and such, another category is the alien abduction experience. And a lot of your people who are having alien experiences also suddenly find themselves in a place in the world where it's like they're out of the body, but they're taken by these beings. They go through solid walls. They're suddenly in one place and then another. And so he said there's a lot of similarity there. And a lot of your beings, the Muslim jinn, the little people of the British Isles and the Native American little people and so on, and the star people, the Kachina of the Hopi and so on, there are those who are like the angelic types, space brothers, and then there are those who are these little people, who are kind of like the little greys who abduct people have even done, had sexual relations, the incubus and succubus phenomena. There's a lot of similarities to what's been going on down through history, and the modern UFO mystery can be, I think, tied in. Jacques Vallée, who was one of the speakers at the AIRI UFO conference back in December 2005, he wrote a book in 69 that was a real pioneering landmark classic called A Passport to Magonia. And it was about, like Virgin Mary apparitions. A lot of times they were associated with these big spheres of light, and they would deliver messages to people, and there was the Dance of the Sun in Fatima, Portugal, that's been compared back in 1917 to a classic UFO event. And then there's, and then of course there's Native Americans with their stories of the Star People. I've made it a point to go out and meet some Native Americans and actually talk with them about, some that would be willing to talk about their experiences, not only the spirit realm, but also UFO beings. There was a Sequanahawk medicine man in Pennsylvania I met years ago, introduced by a contactee in Ohio, who shared his story about the Adushqua, who were these tall beings that were part of his ancestral memories. And but he claimed that they had come to his house, landed in this spacecraft behind his home, and just walked in and conversed with him and gave him messages.
Why not? That makes sense to me, that maybe that's his conscious, he really is getting those messages, and that's his conscious mind's way of dealing with it too, because I can tell you for myself, just when, the beings that, especially Abram, who comes to me, and that's the name he's given himself, that when you're a child, that's like insane to think that you're getting these messages. And I think that spinning disc was a part of mind control to try to keep me in fear and disconnected from that being. So maybe, could it be that maybe that was his way of dealing with it because of the fear factor?
Yeah, Of course, in our modern society, we're told, that's something we tell children that, that's just, it was a nightmare, it's your imagination, it's nothing, and we condition these out of them. But in ancient societies, they recognized the difference between, what was just imagination and what had the potential for, a future medicine person, someone with these abilities, these insights, and tried to cultivate, these things naturally, if they were, on the right path. But am I answering you correctly? Or
yes, you are. And you're talking about Jacques. Is it Jacques Vallée? Is that how you say his name?
Yes, Jacques Vallée, a well-known French-born scientist who was an astronomer, mathematician. And he came to the United States back in the 60s, became real good friends with Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was the consultant to the U.S. Air Force Project Blue Book for many years, originally a skeptic of UFOs, and then he, opened his mind and his eyes. And toward the end, he actually believed that UFOs were interdimensional visitors. he'd gone the full spectrum from being a skeptic to thinking maybe they're extraterrestrial to suddenly realizing that there were psychic elements. He even told Phil Imbrogno in New York when they were having these sightings of these massive triangle-shaped craft back in the early 80s to look for some ancient site that all these events were clustering around. And so Phil went out and located that, sure enough, there were these ancient earthenworks right in the areas where these sightings were clustering. And right there on Ground Zero, there was also concentrated paranormal events and also magnetic anomalies for whatever reason. One was just right dead center where there was opening to this stone building like that. A lot of people conjecture, well, maybe they were made by Vikings or maybe someone else. No one knows for sure exactly. But I know Phil did quite a bit of research into that and even wrote a book years ago about what he had found. So
That's amazing to me when you're talking about that. It sounds and it feels like, well, like what I heard from him was that he's sharing with you a message that you're sharing with people about sacred geometry and the fact that we're connecting with that now. There's something there, you know, like that you're talking about these places that are like vortexes. Do you think that right now that we are becoming the vortexes as we raise our awareness? That
well,
our consciousness is?
Phil Imbrogno did say that among the Celtic people over in the British Isles that they had traditions that they would act with. The stories were that they would go to these ancient stone circles and such, and they would get in the center, and that the there would be like an energy that would come out of these stones where all this information and knowledge was downloaded somehow, like a computer, and it would be downloaded into the person who was in the center of the circle, and they would give a message to the people who were assembled.
So when you're talking about when you were studying people, how people, certain mediums, that could be possibly what's happening, that they're like...
Right, I know that my... Dr. Berthold Schwarz, who studied the interface between UFO and paranormal phenomena for many, many, many years. I had known him going back, I guess, about 35 years, and as I say, just passed away in September. He wrote a wonderful book, 2-volume, called UFO Dynamics, and a lot of the experiences that he, you know, the abductees and contactees that he interviewed personally, he made comparisons of how they, in a different setting, that they might have been people considered to be mediums, natural, you know, mediumistic abilities. And I know that I was investigating some cases in Ohio, and I'd constantly writing to him what I was finding, you know. And there was one instance of a gentleman near Akron, Ohio, who, and I interviewed people who said, yeah, we were there, and this apparition-like form appeared and, you know, scared the bejeebus out of me. One guy said he saw these holographic-type football-shaped lights appear in a bush, and it was raining, and he jumped and dove into the bush to try to grab one, and they just disappeared, and he went flop in the mud. But he said it sounded to him like kind of the guy had mediumistic abilities, and he was channeling this energy of some kind.
That's amazing, and when you're talking about it, that you've got Serpent's Mound, which is down there, and there's another vortex. Well, it's an amazing energy, this place, and I can say that there's something different there for the reason that when I went there, I had someone follow me. It's called Fort Hill. I don't know if you've ever... Mm-hmm. heard about it, but
oh yeah, I've been there twice.
Yes, it's very
it's a good walk. End of the,
yes, and when you're talking about that connection or that medium that here, you know, and you're going to be in Virginia Beach, and I could ask questions for hours because what you're sharing with people is by them, they can come to this conference and. There's a vortex that you are all creating at this conference where people can actually be open to a truth, a deeper truth. And I've had an opportunity to be blessed to look at your magazine and the work that you do. I really believe that people, alternative, and I just want to go to alternate Perceptions magazine, if anybody wants to go there, mysterious/america.net to go there, because the articles that you have there are really enlightening. I mean, just really enlightening, and so much that they can learn. I want to go over to the conference and have you share anything that's going on that you would like to share with our listeners, because I've taken up so much time asking you questions, and I just feel that I want to honor, you know, what you do and what we might get out of this and learn from it.
Well, it'll be Bill Burns of UFO Hunters. He'll be one of the speakers, and Stanton Friedman, who's a long-time, well-known researcher, UFO researcher, as a nuclear scientist, and, of course, then this myself, and then this Freddie Silva, who we've talked about, as well as Nancy Talbot, who will be bringing a lot of knowledge about, you know, the crop circle phenomena and all of the various elements of that. And then, of course, a well-known researcher and speaker and gentleman with the ARE, John Van Auken, who I think most everybody in the ARE knows of.
Yeah.
He's very charismatic and very knowledgeable on all sorts of paranormal, metaphysical, and certainly a walking encyclopedia on Edgar Cayce.
He is.
And he'll be talking, his talk will be Edgar Cayce's Vision of Other Worlds and Other Dimensions. That'll be on Sunday. And let's see, Nancy Talbert, her presentation will be on Friday. And Stan Friedman, Friday evening. And then I'll be Saturday morning from 9:15 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. So I've got a little three-hour slot there.
And what I love is, you know, this is all based on your intention. This whole conference is based on the intention. How honoring is that's something that you're opening this up to so many people, and I have a lot of respect for that. The fact that, you know, you've set your intention on, and your little boy even, that you're connecting with your purpose, and that to me is a huge thing. And the work that you do is wonderful.
Well, it's certainly a tremendous honor. If it, of course, it hadn't been for key people like Dr. Greg Little and John Van Auken and others to, you know, pave the way. And, you know, they got the first conference back in 2005 going. And I did speak at that time, and had the great honor of meeting Jacques Vallée, who had been, you know, forever one of my heroes in the field.
I can tell you that he's with you, because I sense him. I don't know very much about him, except I know that he's telling me to share a message with you that is about the whatever is being blocked, you have opened, and it can no longer be blocked. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I just sense that it can't be blocked anymore. So you're carrying something on with him, and that's his higher self speaking to me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, okay, now, of course, Keel has passed on, but Vallée, now, he's, as far as I know, he's still alive and well and living over in California. But,
and
you know,
His higher self, when I say that about him, that's his higher self saying that you're carrying on. You have the ability to pass on the knowledge that he's tried to really. I see a cap. It's coming undone. And it's like the truth is out and they can't hold it back anymore with this conference. So whatever that means, I know that you're doing the right work. That's the sense. And I'm sorry, I'm excited about that, because people, and I know we've got to wrap, but people are, so many people are asking what's going on. What is this feeling that we have? What is the shift? What is it? And that's what you guys are going to be sharing. And Brent Rains, I am honored to talk to you, and I would love to have you back on the show again and really, really touch on some other knowledge. And I wish that I lived closer and I could go that you know, this weekend, but I will be with you in my heart. And
well, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the opportunity here for the interview, and I want to say that I just consider myself really a student. I don't think that any of us really are experts. You know, we're all just students. We're all on the same playing field. You know, it's all level.
I agree.
I really like sharing and talking with people more than I actually like getting up and talking in front of a group, you know, like we're doing right now, because, you know, we've both been looking at this and studying it, and it's just, it's really neat to just have a conversation and to discuss all of these different elements.
And I would love to talk to you, because you truly are a catalyst for the truth. And I just wanted to say to you, namaste, and bless you, Brent Rains. I'm excited for your next book, and I just want to thank you. If anybody wants to go to if you want to go to this conference, it's this weekend, go to edgarcasey.org and click on, you can get tickets right there online. And I so honor the time that we had together, and have a super wonderful, blessed week. Thank you.